الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عود المريض، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this wonderful and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And what a better occasion than in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has once again blessed us with this beautiful and auspicious month. Just to take a moment briefly to acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors and ni'mats upon us. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you had to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would be impossible for you to do so. So briefly, let's just go through a few very, very important ni'mats and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now that is upon us. Number one, we find ourselves in the best of all conditions. We are in the condition of iman. That is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not really a choice that we made. It was none but the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, if we look, where are we seated? We seated in the best place. The best place on the earth, ahabbul biladi ilallah masajiduha, the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, if we look at the day, khayru yawmin tala'at alayhi shamsu yawmul jumu'ah, we find ourselves on the best of all days, the day of Jumu'ah. And then the best of all months, the month of Ramadan. And then the best spiritual condition for a person is to be in a condition that he is fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how fortunate are we that just as we speak briefly, just to the tip of the iceberg, these are such great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is upon each and every one of us right now, that we in the beautiful month of Ramadan, on the wonderful day of Jumu'ah, in a condition of iman that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We enjoyed 7 beautiful and blessed days of the month of Ramadan, which has passed by us so fast. We are currently going through the days of Rahma, awwaluhu rahmatun, the first 10 days of the month of Ramadan are the days of mercy. So we beg and we implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us with His mercy in these first 10 days of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us with His maghfirah in the second 10 days of the month of Ramadan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَآخِرُهُ عِتْقٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ. The last 10 days of the month of Ramadan are those days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets free many souls from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from amongst them, and may Allah make us from those who take maximum benefit of this beautiful month of Ramadan. We all can attest to the fact that this week has gone very, very fast. It doesn't feel like we are already fasting for 1 week, but 1 week has already gone by. So now is the time that we really need to look within ourselves and ask ourselves the question that generally when the month of Ramadan comes, the first 3 or 4 days, everybody is hyped up, everyone is excited. We all welcome the month of Ramadan, the masjid is full. But as the days start going, the 4th day, 5th day, 6th day, and we come to the middle of the month of Ramadan, then there's some sort of laxity in these days. People don't frequent the masjid as much as they did in the first few days of the month of Ramadan. And then when it comes to the end of the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, it's a good sign, it's a sign of our iman and our tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we find that boost that comes into the Muslim ummah, where now people throng around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everybody wants to do that little more for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the beginning and the end is correct, it's very, very important that we take care of the middle as well. I read a beautiful article on the month of Ramadan, and some of you might have also read it, that the month of Ramadan is likened to a person being given 30 blank checks by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 30 blank checks Allah has given each one of us for this month of Ramadan. We can choose what amount we want to fill on each check. Whatever we want to fill in, that's what we'll fill in, and definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. So if we want to leave the check blank, we can also leave it blank. But no intelligent person will do that and waste that opportunity. From a business point of view, he'll grab onto that opportunity and take the maximum benefit that he can, because it's no stress on his part. It's something free. It's coming his way for absolutely nothing. So he'll definitely take as much as he can, as his portion and as his share. For this month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, every day is an absolute blessing. Leave every day is a blessing, every second of this month is a blessing. We cannot afford to waste one moment of this month of Ramadan. And then we come in again to the weekend. It was Allah's mercy that He started the month of Ramadan on a weekend. It was easy for us to break into the month of Ramadan, to get into the system of fasting, to find our feet. This is nothing but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now again the weekend is presenting ourselves to us. These are golden opportunities to every individual who has a stressful and hectic working day during the week. This is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. You know how difficult it was in that weekday with the short days of winter, with the traffic situation, to commute from A to B, to get to the masjid early, to be there to break your fast, to come back for salah. We know what a rush it has been. It is a rush, and definitely it's a rush with the traffic situation and the hustle and bustle around us. But now you have the weekend. This is the time to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our true potential. Now we're free. Now we're not as busy as what we were. The traffic is not as bad as what it was. Now you're going to be early in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will be testimony to the fact that had you been given the opportunity every day, this is what you would have been doing. This is where you would have been. Let it not be that when it comes to the weekend and it comes to the free time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, then we waste that free time and we squander that time and we don't use it appropriately. Because that's a testimony to the fact that had we been free all the time, then this is the manner in which we would have spent our time. So let us be true to our deen, let us be true to ourselves, and let us be faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never let a moment of this month of Ramadan be wasted. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as one ummah and as one brotherhood. Allah's system in the world is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created something that is known as family ties, blood relation, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made from amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam something that is called ukhuwa and brotherhood. Now when we look at family ties and we look at family relations, this is a very, very strong link and a strong bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. If we look at the family unit, each member of the family, he has a special source of feeling and mercy for his other family members or his siblings and anybody connected to that sort of family relation and that lineage. That's the ideal situation, but today sometimes because of our weakness and the family politics that we have, so even sometimes brothers cannot see eye to eye, parents cannot see eye to eye, children, there's so much of conflict, there's so much of problems. Now we're not talking about what's happening on the ground, but we're talking about the ideal situation. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is, that when it comes to family ties and when it comes to blood relations, then each person is prepared to sacrifice a lot for the next individual, and that family must be united, it must be together. If difficulty comes to any member of single member of that family or that blood relation, everybody feels sad, everybody feels hurt, everybody feels it difficult. Why? Because that's my family, that's my relative, that's someone who is very, very close to me. We are tied together by blood relations. If somebody has to pass away, then that really affects the whole family. Everybody is sad, everybody mourns the death and the loss of that person. Now that's with regards to the family unit. Let's look on the broader scale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. Indeed, the believers are one brotherhood, they are one family. Now one is the blood relation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, but Allah has also made a spiritual relation and a spiritual tie amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where all the believers are likened to one brotherhood. So like how in a family situation and with blood relations, we feel so strongly for our family members, as a ummah on a broader scale, we need to have the same feeling for each and every fellow Muslim. Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking of us in this verse. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. Indeed, the believers are all one brotherhood. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Then Allah says you need to maintain that brotherhood. You need to secure that brotherhood. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And you need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may shower you with His mercy. Then we look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again showing us and highlighting the fact of the importance of this broader scale of brotherhood and unity and ties, where Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." No person can be a true believer. Nobody's iman can truly be complete until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Which brother is Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam referring to in this hadith? Is it our real blood brother? Yes, he's also included. But ideally, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is meaning your Muslim brother, your fellow Muslim, any person who's a partner in the kalima la ilaha illallah with you. He's on the same level as you. He believes in the same Allah that you believe in. He believes in the same Prophet that you believe in. He believes in the same pillars that you believe in. You are one Muslim ummah. It's one brotherhood. So you cannot be a true believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So everybody knows what he loves for himself. We all know what comforts we like to come our way. We all know what brings us joy, what brings us happiness. We all know how good we feel when we are treated in a certain way. What does Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Your iman demands that you love exactly the same for your Muslim brother, for every Muslim brother. So there's no denomination of it has to be a high ranking person, or it has to be a person of a certain color, certain creed, or certain social standing. Any Muslim, hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. There's no segregation whatsoever. Any fellow Muslim, you have to love for him exactly what you love for yourself. You got a desire for him exactly what you desire for yourself. Now these are the ideal teachings of our beautiful deen. But then again, if we shift our gaze away from this, we know what's the reality on the ground. That nobody can have exactly what I have. Nobody should enjoy the privileges that I am enjoying. I need to be on a different level and everybody else is on a different level. No, that's not the ideal situation. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Rather, Allah likes that humility in an individual and that sense of feeling and compassion where he loves for his brother exactly what he loves for himself. When he makes dua, he's not miserly in his dua. His dua is for everybody. Oh Allah, grant me the best, but grant everybody the best. And if we look at the teachings of dua in the Quran, this is exactly what message is taken from this as well. We don't only make dua only for ourselves. Simple duas. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. You're not saying, oh Allah, only grant me the best of this world. You're saying, atina, oh Allah, grant us. Who's us? It's not only you or just your family and those who are tied to you by blood. Atina, grant the entire ummah fi dunya hasana, the best of this world. Wa fil akhirati hasana, the best of the year after. Wa qina adhab an-nar. Again, you're not miserly in your dua. This is the message that the Quran is teaching us, that we need to share our dua. We need to have that open heart. We need to have that feeling for everybody. Everybody needs to be included because we are one ummah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made you one moderate ummah, the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are khayra ummah, the best of all ummahs. But the topic I want to touch on today is some very, very basic and simple things which to a certain extent is lacking in our society. General teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at one hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, he says, Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, the Sahaba, and the entire Ummah till the day of Qiyamah, with certain principles and certain things that have to do with this ukhuwa, this Muslim brotherhood. There's certain rights that every Muslim enjoys over the next Muslim. These rights are not something that any government has given to him or any constitution has given to him, man-made constitution. But these are rights that are divinely inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these are the rights that every Muslim has over the next man. Number one, he says, bi'iyadatil marid. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to visit the sick. Anybody takes ill, anybody gets sick, it's your duty as a Muslim and it's his right, him being your Muslim brother, that you visit him. Now let's be honest and true to ourselves. How many of us will really visit somebody who we don't know from a bar of soap? We have no idea who he is, we never met him before, but we're visiting him solely because he's a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spiritually he's my brother in deen. How many of us really do that? We look at the sick notice, or the board, and we'll say this, we'll know this, we'll see, we'll read, this certain person is sick, this is the hospital he's in, or this is where he is. Would it ever cross our minds that let's take a few moments and let us go and visit that brother for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alhamdulillah, to a certain extent, if we know the person, we'll go out of our way, we'll make the sacrifice, we'll go visit him. That's perfectly in order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely appreciate our effort and reward us accordingly. Absolutely nothing goes unnoticed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the brotherhood of Islam demands that even if it's somebody who you don't know from a bar of soap, the fact that you know the man is a Muslim, you need to visit him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this advice of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not specified that you have to know the man for you to visit him. Bi'iyadatil marid, irrespective of who he is, what's his color, what's his denomination, he's your Muslim brother, if he's sick, you need to visit him. And what's in it for you? You see, insan, no, not many people do anything for nothing. Actually, nobody does anything for nothing. Everybody does it for a reason. We always look at what benefit is coming our way. Ask yourself the question, what benefit comes your way when you go and visit a sick person for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person visits a sick man for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shayya'ahu sab'una alfa malak. If he goes in the morning, for example, to visit a sick person, 70,000 angels invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirah for him right till the evening. Not one, not two, 70,000 make dua a maghfirah for you from the morning right till the evening. If by chance you visit the sick person in the evening, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shayya'ahu sab'una alfa malak hatta yusbih. 70,000 angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deputes to make dua a maghfirah for you right till the morning. Do we have any idea what is the value of the dua of the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And not one, not two, but 70,000. Another hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَعُودُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. Any Muslim who visits another sick person for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي خُرْفَةِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعُ. He is actually spiritually in a garden of Jannah the entire duration that he has gone for that visit, right till he comes back home. Now, these are not small things. These are very, very important things and things for us to ponder over. So much of reward, for what? Is it something really difficult for us to go and see a sick person? Does it require exorbitant amounts of wealth? Does it require a lot of sacrifice from our part where we have to tie ourselves and, you know, it's physically taxing? No, it's something so simple, so easy, and the reward is so much. Especially even if we do it in this month of Ramadan, it's multiplied so much more. On the day of Qiyamah, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lay a complaint to insan. Yabna Adam, marithtu falam ta'udni. Allah will say, O son of Adam, I was sick, you never visited me. Now, the son of Adam will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very, very difficult condition, very perplexed condition. Now he'll hear this question that the Lord was sick and you never visited me. So now he'll get shocked. Now he'll wake up and he'll say, O Allah, how can I visit you, anta rabbul alameen? Kayfa a'uduka wa anta rabbul alameen? Hold on, oh Allah, did I hear right? How is it that you got sick? How am I supposed to visit you? You are the Lord of the worlds. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, ama alimta anna abdi fulanan. Didn't you know that certain slave of mine, this is his name, so and so, maridha, the man was sick. Falam ta'udhu, you never took the opportunity to visit the man? لَوْ عُدْتَهُ had you visited him, لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدَهُ, you would have found me by him. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say. Had you taken the opportunity to visit the man, you would have found Allah by him. It's a step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala welcoming you. Now if that question is posed to us, may Allah save us on the day of Qiyamah, what answer will we give? Oh Allah, I never knew who he was. No, I wasn't getting along very well with him. You know, we had some problems, that's why I couldn't visit him. What answer will we give if this question is posed to us? There's a whole list of questions that comes in that hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question insan. And that hadith has to do only with the rights of your fellow Muslims, your fellow human beings. One is visiting Muslims is an ibadah, but it's not only restricted to Muslims. When it comes to visiting the sick only, then it's for everybody, even if it's a non-Muslim. Visit the man for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same reward is for you. So it's not only for Muslims when it comes to visiting the sick. But why we highlighting the fact that it's only for visiting the sick, because we're going to take it a step further and we're going to go to when a person passes away. But there's restrictions when it comes to a Muslim and a non-Muslim. But when it comes to visiting the sick, there's no restriction whatsoever. Irrespective of the man's religion, you knew the man, he's your friend, you have some dealing with him, you have some connection with him, you need to visit the man for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and secure this simple reward, this magnanimous and great reward. It's nothing simple, it's actually huge, it's something that we don't really deserve. And it doesn't require so much of effort. 70,000 angels make dua for you. You're in a garden of Jannah the entire duration that you're there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. What more can you ask for? And then we have another thing. There's four things that come in succession. And this is what we're going to speak about today. Number one is visiting the sick. And then you have the terminally ill that will fall under visiting the sick. That's one thing that we need to bring in our life. And it's a sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But then subsequent to that, if a person does not recover from that illness, a person passes away. Then we have what is known as itba'il janaiz. Now same under the hadith that we were discussing of Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, he says, Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No, number one, bi'iyadatil mariv, with visiting the sick. Second, wa itba'il janaiz. That is following the janaza, the burial. Now a man passed away. Irrespective of whether you know him or not. Now again, the system that we have been accustomed to is, I know the man, I got to make it for his funeral. Especially if he's my family member first and foremost, I got to go out of my way, I got to sacrifice, I got to make it for that janaza namaz. If he's a friend or a close associate, I got to make it for that janaza namaz. But if it's somebody I don't know, how often we look at that board, we'll see janaza of so and so. We know we got the time to go for that janaza. We're doing nothing. We have that free time. We can make that little bit of sacrifice. We can be there for the janaza. But oh, who's that brother so and so? Who's he? First, that's the first thing we'll make that inquiry. You know who that is. Somebody will attempt explaining to us, oh no, I don't know who he is. Shame, Allah give him jannat inshallah. Is that all? Is that where it stops? Is that the brotherhood that Islam speaks about? Is that the love that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about? That's my brother in deen. How would I have felt if my brother who's related to me by blood left this world? I know what sadness I would have felt. I know what emotion I would have felt. I know how difficult it would have been for me to bear. But the man who's my brother in deen, the man who's tied to me with a greater bond, and that is the bond of iman, when he leaves the world, does it really affect me? Do I get sad? Do I feel that I need to be there? And I mean, does it bring a tear to my eye? These are things that we need to ask ourselves. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, follow the funeral procession irrespective of who it is. The fact the man is a Muslim, be there for his janaza. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever is there for the janaza salah, if he's present for the janaza salah, falahu qiratun, he will get the reward of one qirat, and we'll explain that as the talk goes. And then we have another thing, a third thing. So we said number one, we're speaking about visiting the sick and more so the terminally ill. Second, being present for the janaza salah. That's a very, very important thing, and it's a sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we have a third thing that's added to it and connected to the second one. That is being present for the burial of an individual. One is the janaza salah. The other is the burial. Now 9 out of 10 times you can ask any individual, if he is on his way for a funeral and he knows for sure, I am not going to make it for that janaza salah, I'm delayed, the traffic is too heavy, it's impossible for me to make it for that salah. Will it cross his mind that, listen, I should at least be there for the burial? Or he'll say, no, sorry man, hey, what's the time? Hey, I can't make it, no, it's out of the question, I can't make it for the janaza salah, what's the use of me going? No! There's a complete separate reward just for you being present for the burial itself, separate from the janaza salah. So if by chance you couldn't make it for the janaza salah, you haven't lost out. That brother, you still owe him certain rights. He's your brother in deen, you need to be there and be present for his burial. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ شَهِدَ الْجَنَازَ حَتَّى تُدْفَنْ, whoever is there for the burial until the person is buried, that means he's now there for the entire burial that the person is put into the ground and covered with sand, for him will be two qiratan, falahu qiratan, he will get two qirats. And then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that what is one qirat. He said, mithlul jabalain al-azim, azimain. The reward of one qirat is a huge mountain of reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in your account of good deeds. One qirat. For you to be present for the janaza salah and the burial, you get two qirats. So it's two huge mountains of reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you for what? Did it require a lot of money? Is it physically taxing? Is it so hard? Is it something very, very difficult for us to do? It's so easy, it's so simple. It requires no real effort or sacrifice on our part. But yet so much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to reward you. Ask yourself why? Because it's not something that only has to do with you. This is showing your love and compassion for your fellow brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى Allah says that the believers are one united brotherhood. That is what we are. And we need to bring back that unity. We need to bring back that love and that feeling amongst us. Now, we know for a fact, many people are passing away from the Ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis. I mean, logistically and realistically, it's impossible for us to be present for every janazah, because sometimes there's multiple janazahs in 1 hour, you can't be in 3 places at the same time. That's a fact. But where you can make it, and especially if you know that you don't know the brother, just to do it for the sake of it being a sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you acknowledging the fact that that man was my brother, even though I never knew him. I probably even greeted him once in his life. I probably never saw him in my life. But the fact that I know that he was a Muslim, he was my brother in deen. At some point or the other, I need to attend janazahs of this nature. And wallah, if you do that, look at the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in your heart. Even though you never saw the man in your life, you will still have a sense of loss in your heart. You will still have a sense of sadness in your heart. And definitely you will feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is an absolute fact that this will not go unacknowledged in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This deed will not go unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. And definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us accordingly. And more so if we have to do this in the month of Ramadan, then the reward is just multiplied more and more and more. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a month of a'mal. It's a month that we always need to bring in one extra good in our life, or more than one extra good. That's how we should use the month of Ramadan. So the next time we see a notice on the board, a certain person is sick, irrespective of whether I know him or not, I need to make some effort to go visit that man for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next time I see a janazah notice over there, I will look at the time, I'll look at my schedule, and even if I can sacrifice some of my time. You know that sometimes you get people, they have a very, very hectic schedule, very, very busy days. They don't have time for absolutely nothing. You know, I know of one brother personally, he was what they would say a workaholic for maybe 20, 22 years of his life. Not a single day he ever took off from work, or was he sick in the 20 years. And all of a sudden the man, Allah knows best, he got a heart attack, he had to go for an emergency bypass, and for 2 months he was bedridden. And I went to visit that person when he was bedridden, and he said, Maulana, I never thought in my life something like this will ever happen to me. I never took a day of work. Yeah, I'm sitting in bed for 1 month already, I can't move. I mean, that itself is driving me crazy. Prior to my sickness, had you told me, give me 1 hour of 10 minutes in your day, I couldn't give people 10 minutes. That's how busy I was. But now I'm stuck in the bed for 1 month and still another few weeks to go. So that is what happened when the situation turns around. So sometimes we feel, hey, I'm so busy, I got no time whatsoever. You got to make the time. Tomorrow if the condition changes, there's nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing you can do. So even if I have to sacrifice some of my time to be there for that man's janazah salah, I will go because it is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the man is my brother. And then if I can't make it for the janazah salah, I can be there for the burial. I can be there to secure that reward. Who will be willing to sacrifice a mountain of reward for absolutely nothing? Who say, no, alhamdulillah, I got more than enough. Let someone else take it. No, I don't need it. Jazakallah. We need every deed. The value of one good deed is something so great we can never imagine what is the value of one deed. Ya Allah is prepared to give you an entire mountain for absolutely nothing. And the fourth thing that we want to touch on today, after a person passes away and after he's buried, you get something that is known as consoling the bereaved family. Now sometimes we can't make it for the janazah salah, neither can we make it for the burial, but that person, it was a loss to his family, to his close family members. You need to go there and you need to console them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Visit them solely for this fact that you have lost this brother. I'm here to share your pain. I'm here to shoulder your difficulty. I'm here to give you a word of hope. I'm here to make dua. That's what I'm here for. This is also a sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one sahabi that had passed away, so Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not make it himself, but he sent a specific message to the family to tell them that أَنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs everything that He takes and everything that He gives. When Allah gave you that person in your life, it was from Him, He gave it to you. When the person leaves this world, he belonged to Allah, Allah took back what belonged to him. So as much as it's difficult and hard for us to bear, but this is the reality. Everything belongs to Allah. Allah gives what He takes. To Allah belongs what He gives and what He takes. But وَالْتَصْبِرْ, be patient over this difficulty. وَالْتَحْتَسِبْ, and be hopeful. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for your difficulty and will reward you for your patience. This is the advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent. At times he would go himself and meet the bereaved family to show them, give them that shoulder of support. I mean, it's not that we can really make a difference to the situation, but our presence there definitely makes a difference. Definitely makes a difference. And it's always acknowledged. Now, we do live in the age of technology where if we can't make it ourselves, so we'll phone, we'll send an SMS, and we'll send a BBM, or we'll send a WhatsApp message. That's all in its place. But ask ourselves as individuals, we know the feeling of appreciation and the sense of satisfaction when you know for a fact that the man took the time out from his life and he came personally. We'll acknowledge the phone call, we'll accept the message, we'll reply to the message, we'll acknowledge all these things. But we know the difference that we feel in our heart when the man came himself and he was there to give me a shoulder of support. Everybody will acknowledge that feeling. It's totally different to the one who phoned, although even though you will acknowledge his phone call. It's totally different to the one who SMS, even though you'll acknowledge his SMS. But the man that came, that's the one you'll never ever forget. He took out time, he was there to help me in my time of difficulty. So this is, since we like that for us, we gotta love that for our Muslim brothers. We gotta like that for everybody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq in this blessed month of Ramadan to always bring the beautiful teachings of our deen in our life and to look back at the simple teachings of our deen. Visiting the sick, attending the janazah salah, being there for the burial of a person, and then being there to console and give a shoulder of support to a bereaved family or somebody who has lost a loved one. And this is not something that we should keep only amongst our family circles, but this is on a broader scale of us being one ummah and one family. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ideally wants from us, and this is the true sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, we conclude with the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Nobody's iman can be complete and perfected until he loves for his brother, not his blood brother, but his spiritual brother, all his brothers in deen, what he loves for himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.